The grief and devastation caused by a broken marriage can last a lifetime, unless there is a divine anchor to hang on to. Welcome to part two of Triumph Through Tragedy, Abandonment. Throughout David Wilkerson's long ministry, he often received letters from people who described their darkest hours and how God saw them through. As C.S. Lewis, the respected scholar and writer, said, "God, who foresaw your tribulation, has specially armed you to go through it, not without pain, but without stain." In part two, we'll meet people who chose to turn to God for answers through the pain of a spouse who rejected them. As they sought the Father, He revealed Himself and His nature. You will be amazed at the depth of intimacy with the Father that many gained as they walked through the hardship of abandonment. Triumph Through Tragedy is brought to you by World Challenge, transforming lives through the message and mission of Jesus Christ. These podcasts are made possible only through generous donors like you. You can donate on our website, worldchallenge.org. Now, here are Jason Staples and Stephanie Staples Rostad.
Abandoned, but not forsaken.
After serving the Lord and pastoring several churches for over 35 years, my husband left me for a young married woman in our church. In an instant, two families were completely traumatized, and the precious people who attended the church were shocked and saddened by the moral failure of the pastor they loved and trusted. I was numb with grief and devastation. About all I could do was cry out to God, "Why, Lord, why? I've served you with all my heart since I was a girl, and I've been true to you all these years. I've tried to show your love and kindness to everyone, and I've never compromised your word. I have even taught your word faithfully for years. Why, Lord, have you allowed this to happen to me?" At nearly 60 years of age, I was completely stripped of everything. I had lost my husband and my source of income, and I had a medical condition that incapacitated me. I became emaciated and was slowly dying. Of course, I couldn't work, and to top it off, I was 3 years away from being able to draw Social Security payments. I was completely overwhelmed. What was I going to do? When my husband resigned his pastorate, I lost my church family as well as my ministerial family. I was haunted by the realization that the dear church people who had always been so good to us could have been a source of comfort and support, but they were gone. The ministerial family that had provided wonderful fellowship locally as well as on the district and national level was gone as well. Simply put, I had lost my identity as a pastor's wife. Gone. I was out. I felt abandoned by everyone, and yes, even by God. I felt like a big glob of clay at the feet of Jesus, stripped of everything and terribly broken. After months of weeping, heart-searching, and asking God over and over why He had allowed this to happen to me, I felt His presence draw me near. It happened at the end of my regular prayer time as I sat quietly on the floor by the couch, which I often did, giving God an opportunity to speak to my heart. One last, "Why?" escaped my lips, and then I sensed the awesome presence of God. I did not see Jesus with my physical eyes, but I knew He was there. I felt so comforted and peaceful and enveloped in pure love. I began to weep softly, then I whispered, "Lord, I didn't know the human heart could hurt so badly. Will you please tell me why you allowed such hurt and pain in my life?" In my inner spirit, I heard the Lord say to me, "Child, I'm beginning to answer the prayer you prayed in the prayer room when you were..." I was shocked when I heard that. How well I remembered that day when, as a 20-year-old girl, I was alone in the prayer room seeking God. A deep yearning, which I believe was birthed by the Holy Spirit, caused me to sincerely pray, "Lord, I really want to know your heart." Then I prayed Paul's prayer, "That I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Philippians 3:10. At that time, many years ago, I had absolutely no comprehension of what the deep, costly significance of that verse was. I just knew it came from a sincere heart that wanted to know the heart of God. Now, 40 years later, surrounded by the breathtaking presence of God, I received a divine illumination of why He had allowed me to experience such depths of sorrow and pain. He was answering my prayer and helping me learn something about his heart. It became very clear to me that my deep grief and pain of betrayal and rejection by someone I loved and trusted brought me into the fellowship of his sufferings. I cried out to him, "Lord, I didn't realize how much pain your broken heart experienced when you were rejected by those you loved. Lord, forgive me for the times I've caused you pain." I realized that being stripped of everything and being shamed and embarrassed like my precious Lord was what it meant to be made conformable unto his death. My will had to be fully surrendered to his divine will. Only then could he be Lord. Through my tears, I asked the Lord to allow my heart to be grieved with those things that grieve his heart. I don't ever want to hurt the heart of God again, for I have learned in a small measure how much God grieves when we ignore him or treat him lightly. The Lord communicated to me that morning, "You will now begin to see through my eyes and see what I see, not what others might see. You will begin to hear through my ears what I hear, not the coarse language or the ruckus laughter, but rather the cry coming from the heart of a soul that is lost or hurting." One of the most sobering things the Lord said to me, although he said it with much love and tenderness, was, "You've been so busy working for me that you haven't always worked with me. I want you to work with me in the yoke of my will. Doing what others ask you to do or expect you to do is not necessarily what I want you to do." I asked his forgiveness for that. I wonder how many pastors and church leaders are guilty of this. On the other hand, how many lay people place demands on pastors and leaders to do things that God has not asked them to do? All of us need to be yoked together with Christ to do what he, not man, orders. Several months after that experience with the Lord, I was rushed to the hospital near death. I felt my life slipping away due to the chronic intestinal disease I had suffered from for years, but the doctors were able to stabilize me. A pastor and his wife came to see me in the hospital. They were visiting in the area and had heard that I was seriously ill. When they walked into my room, the pastor said, "Dear sister, I have a word from God for you. You're not through. Your ministry is not through, and God is going to give you a healthy body with which to enjoy it." The following day, another dear saint gave me practically the same message. Then the next day, early in the morning, when I was just beginning to awaken, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speak the following words, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of birds is come." Song of Songs 2:10-12. It's a new day for you. 3 days and three messages from God to my soul. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:1, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." Those messages given to me in the hospital have come to pass. For 11 years now, my yearly physicals have shown no sign of the intestinal disease in my body. Not only that, but like David, I can say, "He hath filled my mouth with laughter and my tongue with singing." Psalm 126:2. My ministry in the body of Christ has become more fruitful, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. God has kept his word to this little grandma. May he ever be praised. I felt like a train hit me. Where was God? The Bible study group my husband and I started grew into a thriving church, which we pastored for 9 years. Our only child, a son, graduated from a major Christian university and helped us in the church for a couple of years. We were all pleased when he announced his engagement to a lovely Christian girl in May, setting the wedding for the next May. 3 months after that announcement, my husband told me he no longer loved me and was leaving right after our son's wedding, which was still 9 months away. Our son lived with us, and in order not to mar his happy plans, we kept this secret between the two of us. We did, however, share it with two trusted board members in the church. Need I say that I was in shock? My heart was crushed, and I felt like a train hit me, and then, before I could get off the tracks, another train going the other direction hit me. My son's wedding day was truly the most difficult day of my life, as I knew that when I returned home, I would lose everything. Sadly, there was no one I could talk to about it, But God sustained me, giving me peace and even joy at a time when my heart was truly broken in pieces. My husband kept his promise, and after our son was married, he pulled out of our driveway with all his belongings in his car. It seemed like he had a complete breakdown at the age of 49, suffered what is commonly referred to as a midlife crisis, and walked out on his life. He moved to another state 6 hours from where we lived and went to work for an insurance company. 4 months later, two of my husband's best friends divorced each other. She had been a counselor on staff at our church, and her husband had been a board member. She felt that the Lord led her to move to the town where my husband was working, so he moved her out there and set her up in an apartment right next to his. During this time, I was struggling to make sense of everything. I had lost my identity, and I had a hard time functioning in the real world. My husband had always taken care of all the details of life in our home, so I had some major adjusting to do. A few years later, my husband divorced me, and after 32 years of marriage, I felt really alone. Within the year, my now ex-husband married the lady who had moved next door to him. I was born again and spirit-filled, but I came to realize that I really didn't know Jesus. In my search for a deeper knowledge of him, I went through fire and crushing. Through it all, he taught me to persevere, endure, tenaciously walk in faith and trust him. I know that he has everything under control and has only my best interest at heart. A wonderful and miraculous transformation has taken place in my life, and I am a brand new person. I thank God for loving me so much that he allowed me to walk through the fire so that I could know him intimately and have this tremendous, loving relationship with him. I was blind, and now I see clearly. I asked the Lord to take out all the garbage, trash, junk, and debris in me. I prayed for him to mold me and shape me into the image of Jesus. I continue to ask him to make me a godly woman, a woman of honesty and integrity, radically obedient and sold out to him. I want an impeccable reputation, not compromising the word, not giving the appearance of evil or causing anyone to stumble. I desire to be a woman who walks in the image of Jesus Christ, a witness for him and him only. The Lord placed in me the desire to be a speaker, and I thought I would be speaking on overcoming depression, then separation, then the other woman, then divorce, and then remarriage. I now know that people will be hearing how to come into deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, learning to focus on him and allowing him to have everything in our lives. Everything is possible with God. He can and will do miraculous changes in our lives when we allow him to literally take over. This happens when we learn to take our hands off so he can do whatever is necessary to transform us into the image of his son, Jesus. Mine has been an incredible journey. It is one that I certainly would not want to repeat, but I am so thankful God allowed it because of the person I have become in him. I truly know who I am in Christ. I live in joy, rest, contentment, peace, and victory, and I would not trade it for anything.
The mailbox contained $2,000 in cash. When my boys were only 2 and 5 years old, my husband left me for his secretary. I had a little formal education, but no degree, and I struggled to support the boys. To make matters worse, I fell into severe depression and turned to alcohol. The divorce took 4 long years, and then there was a custody battle, which, by the grace of God, I won. However, by that time, my drinking problem was serious, and I was not able to function as a normal human being. My wonderful and faithful mother and father mobilized a prayer chain that stretched across the entire nation, and in his mercy, God saved my life. My parents extended themselves far beyond anything I deserved, but their love and support helped me salvage my life and my family. I was able to get out-of-state custody of the boys, and we moved in with my parents. I had a demon-possessed boyfriend, but after I got away from him, I turned my life completely over to the Lord. At that point, my sons were 8 and 10. After 2 years with my folks, I felt strong enough to break away on my own again. I put my trust in the Lord, and the boys and I moved to a town about 3 hours from my parents. We continued to go through some tough times, but I did my best to be a good provider, and I prayed a lot. There were times we were out of food, and we would find groceries on our front step. At times, someone else paid the rent. The most spectacular instance of his provision happened the day I saw a rainbow across the entire sky. I had always felt that the rainbows signify promise, and when I checked the mailbox that day, there was $2,000 in cash. To this day, we don't know who sent it, but we know God provided it. I was devoted to my children, and I put a lot of effort into training them. I was strict with them and always made sure I was home when they got home. I also made sure I knew where they were at all times. God blessed my efforts, and the boys grew up to be very popular in high school. They both excelled in sports and maintained good testimonies for the Lord. Both my sons received scholarships to college, and they worked hard. My older son graduated and is now married to a wonderful Christian woman. My younger son will receive his degree in May, and he's waiting for a Christian woman. I thank God for them both. I could not have made it without completely giving my sons up to the Lord. He guarded and protected us as we struggled through life. It truly is a miracle that we made it, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the many people who prayed for us, especially my parents. I know without a doubt that prayer made the difference. I want to always remember what He has done for me and will continue to do.
You've been listening to Part 2 of Triumph Through Tragedy, read by Stephanie Staples Rosted. This podcast is brought to you by World Challenge, transforming lives through the message and mission of Jesus Christ. Your support makes a difference. We would not be able to create podcasts like this one without generous listeners like you. Please consider donating to power the mission and make World Challenge resources like this podcast possible. You can make a donation on our website, worldchallenge.org. Thank you for listening and supporting. In the next episode of Triumph Through Tragedy, children. Until then, may God's presence and grace carry you through every hardship.